I don't have to tell you that these are turbulent times. They're astonishing times. Many people are feeling deeply challenged, more reactive, and my sense is in more need of coaching than ever. And while these times are full of challenges, they're also ripe with evolutionary potential. This is the gift of these times. And I think it's these moments that coaches are built for, so we can help our clients unlock the deeper capacities and intelligence that's required of them now. And that's exactly what our newest program, Unlocking Leaders, is all about. You'll learn how to work at the source code of change, beyond strategy, beyond protocol, at the level of consciousness itself. This, for me, has been by far the biggest leverage I have with my clients. It's the most potent move I can make, because the level of consciousness a leader is operating from determines everything. What they notice, what they miss, whether they react defensively, stay grounded, whether they tighten in control or open into creativity and collaborativity, and ultimately what becomes possible in how they lead. And when you work at this level, you'll be able to tap into these hidden drivers behind decisions and behaviors and unlock possibilities in situations that once felt stuck. And beyond that, importantly, you're going to cultivate a capacity that AI will never possess. As AI expands and begins to dominate procedural and operational coaching, as it grows, it's becoming clearer what it cannot do. And it can't feel, it can't connect in the same way when two human beings come together and the field that they create becomes part of the transformational conversation. It can't work with consciousness, the very source of transformation and the source of the most powerful coaching moves. This is what separates good coaches from great coaches working at this level. And AI can't touch this. So if you're interested to find out more about this program, if you feel called to join us, then head to coachesrising.com/leaders to book your spot. The first class is June 16th with Jim Dethmer, just an incredible, masterful coach. And he's joined by Bob Anderson, also a true pioneer in the field of conscious leadership and coaching. And if you sign up by May 29th, you can get the early bird discount. Enrollment is open until June 12th. So head to coachesrising.com/leaders to book your spot. Hey, Kareem. Good to be with you. So we are recording this because this topic has been something that's been inspiring us and troubling us and growing us for some time. And we felt ready to share some of our thoughts on this boundary between coaching and therapy. It's often a question that comes up in our trainings, and we like to go deeper with our clients, and that inevitably, and in our trainings too, and that inevitably brings up the question from people sometimes of, hey, you know, this feels a bit like therapy. Where is the boundary between coaching and therapy? So we're going to unpack this question and what it brings up for us from many different perspectives today. So first of all, how does that sound to you, Kareem?
Yeah, it sounds really exciting. And I think, you know, just to add to the importance of why, I think because coaching is such an evolving profession, you know, it started in, well, 1,000 years ago, but, you know, certainly in the modern world, you know, it's like in performance coaching, and then it's evolved where it includes the psychology of the human being and then the being of the human being. So as that's evolved, you know, how we meet our clients and the boundaries we hold is an important ongoing inquiry. So yeah, looking forward to our dialogue today.
Yeah. Well, I think you actually open up like one important place to begin, which is the broader picture. And why I think this is becoming a louder question. I certainly, through interviewing, you know, hundreds of different people on the podcast now, have started to notice over the years that there are, you know, coaching approaches which are moving from, you know, purely coaching into this center ground where they're working with the whole of their client. I've actually also noticed there are therapeutic approaches which moved to this center ground as well. And actually, for example, I just did one with Lawrence Heller, and you know, NAM therapy holds the aliveness and the flourishing of the client as central to their work. It's not pathological, and that's what they're working with in the present moment. So I'm sharing this because I think they are responding to our times. And if we look at our times, it's kind of obvious that we're not in business as usual, and that many of the institutions and ideas that we held that were born inside of modernity are up for question. For example, you know, growth at all costs, you know, in business. That's one example. And so I think, therefore, that's having an impact on the people we work with, our clients. They're coming into our sessions now in a different way, in a different state, with different concerns and questions than perhaps they might have had 5-10 years ago, you know, because we're all living inside of this liminal space, these polycrises that we face. And B, alongside of that, it means that some of these fixed ideas and notions about what we held were to be true are also up for question. So what I mean by that is this boundary between coaching and therapy is also becoming more fluid. And in some sense, this is the idea I would like to share, is that we might have before seen that as a kind of fixed boundary in some way. But actually, I think it's more appropriate to see it as a transformational boundary, one that actually is a living question and living inquiry, and that it invites us into our own development. And there's lots we can say about this, but that if we start to see it as a transformational boundary, I think that is more ethical. Actually, it invites you into a deeper level of practice and ethics than if we held it as a fixed boundary that actually is being defined by a body outside of us, you know, some kind of governing body. They determine what it is, and then I follow those rules. That's very different to it as internalizing that boundary as something living that we're actually exploring inside of us. So I can share some more about that, but I just want to pause there and see, comes up.
Yeah, it reminds me of some research that's helpful to share on that point, Joe. There was some research asking some coaches and some therapists about what is that boundary, and no group could align on that. And one of the conclusions from that research was it's a dynamic contracting that happens based on various factors of capacity and what the client contract is, etc. But you know, whilst you know there are official statements of boundary, even when you look between the lines, they're not fixed in themselves. You know, just a very simple example, you know, even there's a boundary up in the ICF around that, you know, we won't bring in our models, thoughts, teaching. You know, in many trainings, I've seen the introduction of things like the critic or the saboteur or even like perceptual position. So I want to kind of respect these bodies because they keep the profession in some kind of consistency and shared professionalism. And at the same time, even within them, there's a lot of dynamicism, you know, in the boundary itself, again, depending on what you're trained in and capable of and what the client's up for. So I think what I want to highlight is, I'm hoping today we kind of explore, what does that mean? I love the point you make about the ethical dimension of it, because this does feel like an important part of it when we're in service to our clients. And what's the view of this transformational boundary, and how do we live it? I think that's what's interesting for me.
I think what's important is, and this goes back to when I talked about the times we find ourselves in, and you know, in some ways we're in a collective rite of passage, And that's a deeper transformational passage than what we've been going through. And, you know, personally, we know that when we're going through these passages, it's it can bring up all kinds of experiences, you know, all kinds of emotions. It touches us deeply. And so that's why I feel coaches are being invited to evolve in our times. And actually, even if we weren't going through this collective rite of passage, I still feel like, you know, if you are working with an individual going through any deeper transformational journey, then it's gonna bring up aspects of them and touch parts of them that are deeply emotional, have some connection to their past. May include even, you know, trauma they've encountered. And so if we want to meet the client, the whole of their client, then I think we need to be equipped for that and to be prepared for that, you know. So that's my, and it's a bias, you know. I know not all coaches feel that way, but I feel that in any deeper transformational shift, you're going to encounter some of the parts that have formed the hurts, the conditioning that protected the client and has an intelligence to it. And that actually it's the meeting of that that actually unwinds that learning through love and presence, allows it to integrate, that liberates the client into their next phase of growth, you know. And that can look like therapeutic work, you know. I think the difference for me is, as a coach, I'm not automatically going back into my client's past for the sake of it. I'm not even saying a lot of therapists are doing that. I'm working always in the present moment with what's arising in relationship to what they want most in their lives. So I wanted to name that here because I think it puts, it's one context for why I think we're being invited into this deeper type of work.
Yeah. And just staying in the space of context, just to bring in, you know, what I've been noticing in the context of coaching is over time, you know, more and more clients, so work in an organization where we do a lot of coaching, and just this trend of certainly at exec level, leaders asking for coaches who've got experience of working with some of those deeper patterns. And you know, almost imagine there's like 20 or 30 years of deep, you know, coaching and development work gone into organization, into society. And, you know, we're now going beneath the surface of those self-improvement fixes and the recognition that actually the self-improvement approach just ends us in this cycle of continual improvement that never actually ends up feeling satisfying. It's always the next thing. And I think that the other context, and it, for me, is, you know, the questioning of this whole capitalist view, you know, is it really getting us where we want to go? And again, this kind of self-improvement, infinite growth, actually getting us more in difficulty. And so our identities, you know, culturally and individually are shifting and requiring a different way of coaching that isn't the, we're going to get you from A to B, but how do I meet you at the level of identity, at the level of shift that you're going through? And for that, it's not about self-improvement coaching. It's more about meeting the unfolding of the human being in this moment now. And then when you hold that, what shows up in the moment in that unfolding isn't a set of models and tools that you need to apply and a set of rules. It's unfolding with what the human being's releasing, letting go of, shifting into, opening up to. And there suddenly saying, no, you can't talk about that here and it's got to be over there. Suddenly you miss the opportunity that's presenting in this present moment relationship with the client. So I think there's a shift in the coaching approaches that I'm seeing as well. You know, when we work with people like Steve March, with Kim Barta, with Peter Hawkins, you know, there's a radical shift of what are we doing in this moment with this client? And therefore, what does that mean for boundaries? And then transformational boundaries start to make more sense. And we'll dig into that, I know, in a moment. But yeah, that wider context of change and what we're meeting And then the disruptions that you mentioned that people are facing, you know, the self-improvement paradigm is what got us there. So we need something different. And therefore the coaching that meets the client or the individual in their context with what shows up is pretty important as well. So that includes the range.
Yeah, I think this is important. And just to flesh out a little bit more for those listening who aren't aware of that distinction, and you mentioned Steve March, you know, this self-improvement paradigm, which is very ubiquitous around us, you know, and it's, yes, we can improve in certain things in our lives, you know, like learning a language, but it's when it becomes oriented to our inner world, it can often perpetuate the sense of lack that we feel. So the self-improvement paradigm is saying, like, subtly, where you are now isn't okay. You know, it's not enough. You should be over there, you know, in this imagined place in the future. And once you're there, then you'll feel enough. So people then take on all kinds of strategies to get there, but it doesn't actually lead to that sense of feeling enough, sense of satisfaction. This enfolding paradigm, and I think this is where it really connects back to our topic now of the coaching therapy divide, which is the the unfolding paradigm is really inviting us to become connoisseurs of the present moment, of meeting, helping our clients get into ever greater contact with themselves in relationship to the topic. In a sense, you know, letting their experience be the way it is. So we take our hands off trying to improve our experience. And as we do, we're able to include what's here in a way that it begins to integrate and unfold. And that's how our clients begin to grow. It's a very different paradigm. And it actually is a much more effective paradigm. And this is where it really connects. This invites us into our own development, our own maturity as coaches massively. And I think this is something we've not named enough yet, which is key to this coaching therapy boundary, which is it's helpful for beginners to have that boundary articulated by something on the outside, like a governing body, because they're just learning. You know, and yeah, you don't want to do more harm. And, you know, you've got to learn the territory. But then it becomes quite limiting in a sense. And actually, it takes a great level of maturity to meet another person and to hold space for them, to be there as they are in this unfolding paradigm. You know, it's a lifelong path of doing our own inner work as a coach. And this is, I think, ethically, you know, because ethics is an important part of this whole exploration. We haven't spoken to this, but what we're not saying, Kareem, is like, hey, you know, whatever, like there is no boundary between coaching and therapy. Coaches can just do whatever the hell they want, just wade in. You know, that's not it either. We're saying it's about presence is the primary guide rather than reified concepts, notions of where boundaries are, which actually disconnect you from the present moment with your client and can actually that they can actually be more harmful. So cultivating our capacity to be presence with our clients, to be attuned. And that is what is guiding the coaching that we do. We are deeply attuned to the client and what's arising in their nervous system. So we can start to sense when they might feel more frozen, they might be activated in their nervous system. And we have skills to help them with that. And presence also allows us to recognize when we reach our own boundaries. And this is where I think it's important too. It's like, we're not saying there's no boundary. We're saying, you know, you will feel as a coach when you hit your own boundary around certain topics. Like I know that feeling in myself. It's like when I lose presence with a client is one of them. you know, I can feel like I'm getting knocked out of my spacious presence with a client. And I think one more thing I'd weave in, therefore, what is the, I'll tee this up before answering it. What is the archetype or the image that we are proposing? You know, is it something that transcends and includes coaching and therapy? Is it, do we need a new word or not?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think just building on that, Joel, because there are so many different meanings of the word coach now as well. You know, from I've seen it for hamburger flippers, all the way through right now. I mean, even the coaching world itself is evolving, because you see people doing trauma coaching and grief coaching. You know, but even with something like developmental coaching, you know, it is going deeply inside. You're looking at the construction of who you are, you know, which happens in the first 6-7 years of life. And if you're coming in for development coaching, then opening up the space to include what are those key moments of development and what's unfinished in your development or what's emerging in your development, means we need to allow that space for who the person is as they show up in this moment fully. So even the world of coaching is kind of starting to stretch itself and stretch the boundaries. And I like the idea of what's the new word that we would use, because it's also getting misunderstood in the ways that the word coaching, I've seen it in the world of AI, where you get AI coaches. So there's a lot of misuse of that word. So I think, you know, it is a great question to go, well, what are we going to refer to this as that doesn't now have the mixed and confused meaning around that? And I know you've got some thoughts around that, Joel. So yeah, I'm curious where you're at with that word coach and the future of coaching.
I think two thoughts come to mind. Like, one is, you know, we've been playing with this kind of phrase, transformational practitioner, which is just not very sexy, but it you know, it's like a placeholder. And I sometimes have kind of thought about, well, if there's that kind of healing therapy and then coaching, guiding, and then is there a kind of transcendent include kind of third point, which is the alchemist, you know? That's evocative for me, because it captures this unfolding paradigm in which does feel more alchemical, where, you know, there is, you know, a sense of including more and more. And as we help our clients include more and become more in touch with their experience, then there is a kind of intelligence of that comes online, you know, like a dynamic intelligence which guides the process. So, but, you know, hey, that word alchemy, it's kind of maybe a bit alchemist, maybe it's a bit niche. And so, you know, actually where I go is like, this is a living conversation. We don't know yet, but actually it probably is more interesting for people to think about what that might be for them. You know, what would be the word that would be that third way that transcends and includes for them if they feel called in this direction? Because that's actually really an important point here, is that, again, it kind of comes back to being a beginner coach and an intermediate and a master coach. Is like, in the beginning, it's useful to be told where the boundaries are, what this is, what that is, what are the competencies. You know, you're doing quality trainings and you're taking on those trainings, but you actually become socialized by those trainings in some way, you know, that and that's not a bad thing, you know, it's part of your development, but it's like, you as a coach, you are those trainings. Yeah. It's like, and then at some point you actually are being invited to determine what is my philosophy of transformation. But you need a certain level of experience to be able to do that. But that's a very powerful moment, because I feel you become much more potent at that point, where you know, you're developing your own protocol, so to speak. And then I think beyond that, there's a kind of soul infused move, where it's like, what's the mythopoetic soul archetype that is me at my best in my transformational work. And that inquiry is more like, you know, I think it's inviting life to reveal to oneself what that is. And so I share that because I think that is a much more powerful way of moving through this journey towards mastery and ethics. You know, it's a highly maturing ethical move to do so.
Yeah, I love that kind of flow of evolution. That really resonates with me. You know, as you practice this work, you do your own work, you know, you start to find more and more about who you are, what you're called to be, and then for you to then start to define that and to emphasize the importance of, you know, having the grounding in the, you know, the core principles, especially when you're starting out, and knowing where the lines are, where your own lines are. And sometimes those external boundaries can support you with that whilst you're learning. But a couple of things you've named there that I just want to kind of connect in with, because when I look at that range, you know, the development coaching to, you know, trauma coaching, all the way to maybe skills, performance only focused, what I do see myself kind of learning from the ones who are taking the edges is the importance of what you said around both self-practice, you know, so have I done my own work? You know, certainly if I go to, there's a grief coaching I saw, Joel, that's ICF accredited as well, with core competencies, which is interesting. But when I go to those trainings, the emphasis is presence, you know, so almost the qualities of this transformational practitioner. I'm present, I can hold the space, I can meet what's here, and that's my path. I know myself. You know, I know some important fundamentals about trauma and neurodiversity, especially in today's world, where that's becoming more, people are becoming more aware of that. And that capacity to relate to another human being and the field that's present, that's also contributing to how we're showing up right now and what's emerging in us. I think those capacities I see coming more and more in this kind of transformational practitioner space. And then the bit around ethics, you know, there's more rigor in the ethics and in this space, because you have to know your limits, your boundaries, your development edge, and be ethical in what you say yes to or not no to. And we talked about these four C's, Joel, earlier, so I'll share them now, because I think they're ethical inquiries. You know, so when we're working with a client, as you're saying, we're not saying there's no ethics and everything's allowed and we just meet. There's four C's that we almost recommend reflecting on. So one of them is, well, what's the contract here? So if you've got a client who's on, you know, I want to improve my presentation skills and some grief comes up, we're not saying, well, you have to force working with the grief. It's what's the agreement here? What's the context of the coaching? What's included in our agreement? And that can be dynamic too. You know, if something comes up, you can recontract. I think what's my capacity, which is, to your point, you know, can I hold this space? Can I meet what's here? And if not, what's been called forth to develop, maybe through supervision or to say no to, you know, that's not something that I'm capable of meeting right now. Maybe there is a therapist or another coach or a professional that might have some more of the skill or capability. I think the third C, so there's contract, capacity, the capability, you know, am I trained? Am I skilled? And being transparent about this is what I can work with and this is what I can't. And then finally, the continuous inquiry and development, you know, the final C. And this is ongoing supervision, ethical inquiry, and also seeing our clients as invitations for our own development, because change is not something we do to someone else. It's a process that happens when we meet. And, you know, what's being called forth, what's the opportunity that our clients are bringing us into? And I think for me, the transformational practitioner is seeing this moment as a mutual change process. And are we in that ethical inquiry, continuous inquiry and development? And, you know, sometimes our edges get called by our clients. You know, it's often been the case that, you know, you've got the perfect teacher in front of you and they're testing your edge. And, you know, I found myself going to supervision and going, right, I need help. And sometimes I've come back saying, I can't continue right now because you need someone with that capacity or capability. And other times through the supervision, something shifted and I've been able to meet the client in a different way that's been in service to their development and growth. So I think that ongoing inquiry. So I think those four C's add a certain quality of rigor. You know, and if you are, say, ICF, you know, trained and present as an ICF trained coach, that would be included in there. So, you know, what is my contract with my professional body that I need to include here? And at times you might say, hey, this particular contract is about meeting what's here right now. And that means I'm going to be particularly rigorous in the way that I approach each moment of the relationship.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah, that's helpful. It provides a kind of basis for which I think we can kind of just a little assessment, you know, where am I paying more attention there? Where am I being invited to be a little bit more rigorous around this? And it makes me think about maybe what recommendations we might make to people listening. And yeah, these would be recommendations I'd make to myself as well. Like, I think for me, what comes up is, and I think you've just spoken into this, but it's worth highlighting again. It's like, so when I feel like either if I'm in a training and, you know, suddenly I feel some emotion around what's being taught here. Wow, is this therapeutic? To also see that as an invitation for inquiry. Like what's arising in me in that moment? Now, it may be that it's like, it just doesn't fit. You know, I'm like, I notice for me what's being taught here doesn't fit. That's fine. But it also could be an invitation into noticing what parts of me have been activated, what patterns in me are activated that may be afraid of going in certain directions. And that you know, that's in the best supervision groups I've been in. That's the work you do. You look at where are the challenges I have around my coaching practice with my clients, with the work I do, and that is the fuel for your deepening as a practitioner. So that would be one recommendation I would take. Yeah,
beautiful. Yeah, and I think another recommendation that comes to my mind is just writing down, like, this is a really practical, Joel, but writing down what, you know, with regards to the boundary question, what are your boundaries that you're holding? Because, you know, there are many, you know, coaching is future focus, therapy is past focus, you know, deeper emotions are for that therapy, coaching is more positive, you know, certainly if you go into the positive psychology world, and even within them, some people will say, I only focus on the positive, others don't. You know, coaching is more practical and orientated around life, you know, whereas and what I would do is just look at the truths around those. Like, is it really true that your coaching is always future focused? You know, what if someone is working on presentation skills and, you know, 4 weeks ago had a difficult scenario that they faced that they wanted to explore? You know, what if that difficult situation was 10 years ago? Would you say no? So just to question, you know, all those, you know, hold, make those boundaries conscious, and then start to look at, you know, even with deep emotions, you know, would you allow a little bit of sadness if some bad news happened at work with, I know, your project not hitting the timeline that you're expecting? What if it was a deeper sadness around a loss of someone in the organization that's here now? Or as you were saying, Joel, like something that has happened, a pattern that's got conditioned from the past that has some emotion around it, which is why you've created a particular strategy with a part. And as you loosen the hold of that part, some of the unmet emotions might surface in this moment and in the process of either releasing that part or transforming that part. So, you know, just to start to notice, where are those assumptions and how are you holding them? What do you say no to? Is that okay? And start becoming more conscious about those boundaries, because certainly most therapists and coaches I've spoken to couldn't define those before you even start to question them as well. So it's kind of a recommendation from me.
Another one that comes to mind, and I think this is good to do even if you're not, this topic around coaching and therapy isn't alive for you, but it would be, who am I as a coach? In a way, it's a little bit connected to what you're just talking about, but who am I as a coach? You know, what is my cosmology of change? What's the thing that I'm most excited about as a coach? You know, most passionate about, most interested in, to begin to write about that, think about that, and that will strengthen your authorship as a coach, and it will bring more ethics and more clarity to the work that you can do, the type of container you want to hold. And I think inside of that inquiry, you can start to weave in, what's my developmental edge as a coach? You know, where are the places where I hit that edge, where I struggle a little bit, where, you know, there's kind of blind spots, and where am I being invited to grow? That I think this is being inside of the kind of living exploration of coaching as a vocation, not just a profession. And I think that will enliven the work we do. And I think developmental edges with coaches is a big topic. I can feel myself wanting to go in that direction, but I'll leave it for there. What about you? Any others?
Yeah, I mean, again, it feels like a dance between us, because the flip side of, you know, opening up the boundary question kind of builds on what you've just said, which is, from that place of who am I as a coach, you know, where are my limits right now? To really have an honest conversation, I'd even do this with a supervisor or someone that is experienced in this, but, you know, where are my limits as well as my development edges? You know, what can I meet, what I can't meet, and what's my development edge, which is effectively, you know, where's that next place I'm going to open up to and welcome into my world, and therefore welcome into my coaching relationships as well. So I think, yeah, that when you talked about these transformational boundaries, dynamic boundaries, for me, this is starting to become aware in this moment, where am I? You know, what are my limits? Just as an example, like, you know, I had a client that did open up to some trauma, and that's not a skill I have. In doing deep trauma work, you know, and I know that. So at that moment, I have a way to respond and say, hey, this is not my capacity right now. It was a deeper capital T type trauma, which is not where my experience lies. So to start to look at that and create your own transformational boundary awareness, I would say. And, you know, what for me is in that transformational boundary space is not, it's your capacity. It's also the client's capacity. You know, it's what's showing up in the room. So to have an awareness of ours is very important. And then, as you say, we can look at our edges and what we want to grow into as well to be able to meet more.
Yeah. I think just building on what you said, referrals, having someone you can refer to, and some level, you know, people, maybe even more than one person, having kind of practicing or developing how you refer people, because that's a conversation that wants to be done with love and respect, you know, and we don't want to kind of have people feel rejected in that referral conversation. Trauma, being trauma informed. And I think particularly if you are, you know, if you feel passionate about this third space that includes therapy and coaching, some level of like deeper, more rigorous, therapeutically oriented training could be very useful as well. That's something I'm really considering doing myself. And, you know, I'm not saying that, this is just for me personally, but it's, you know, I think it's something you said earlier, that it's quite common for people to feel activated, you know, to feel some level of nervous system activation, freeze, coming into conversations these days. And, you know, if you just ignore that and try and coach over the top of it, that, you know, I think there's some use to that potentially, but it's like wow, if we can just recognize that and be able to support people with that to whatever degree, I think that's a great capacity to have. And, you know, maybe as we, I don't know if we're moving towards the end of this exploration for now, but, you know, I feel like I want to just speak into, loop back a little bit around the times we find ourselves in. And, you know, what touches me in this moment is I feel called to be in service in our times, you know, to be a beacon of light in our times. And these are remarkable times. And I feel that that is evoking in me this deep inquiry and journey into this space, this transformational practitioner space. And I see a growing number of people. You know, I meet a lot of coaches, and you would be amazed by how many coaches are thinking in the same way, you know. So maybe we're preaching to the converted already here, but it's more often that I meet coaches who are, you know, already thinking quite deeply about some of the things we've talked about today. And I think if I think about our times, you know, one of the invitations feels like to help us meet the patterning we've inherited that has this intelligence inside of it that kept us, you know, in belonging and in safety, in connection, but to help us meet that in order to be able to foster a deeper level of connectedness and collaboration on the planet. And that there's great excitement and ensoulment that can arise if we feel called into what my friend calls mixed mystical arts, you know, this trans paradigmatic practice where we have a kind of humility, you know, that no one view has all the answers. Each view is partial, but that great creativity and generativity arises when we can hold different paradigms together, and that we can be the way of being that can hold those different paradigms and pick up the one that feels most appropriate in each moment. So that's something I want to just tap into as we kind of move towards a close.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, I think that for me, just to connect in with what feels right to share is, I notice as I build my capacity to meet what's here in me in the world, you know, that holds a wider space for welcoming what where the coachee is, and then what we create becomes something quite different. So I think that for me, there's something about the capacity to be present with what's here unfolding this moment, and then to surrender to the intelligence rather than to those patterns and conditionings that can drive, and something powerful happens there. And for me, that's the shift, I think, is also a parallel in the world. Like we're using that kind of patterning of capitalism or the self-improvement paradigm. It's kind of taking us more and more away from ourselves. And ultimately, I think if I look at all of those big things, you know, the planet, AI, yeah, workplace dissatisfaction, they're all about loss of connection to our earth, loss of connection to each other, to ourselves, to our organizations. And so for me, at the heart of all of this is connecting back to ourselves as we are in this moment with another in relationship. And something magical happens when those veils of disconnection, you know, call it parts, call it conditioning, call it patterns, as we work to disidentify or heal or release, there's more potent potential in this moment. And the more we can connect with that, the more we can offer our clients a service that's very deeply transformational.
I loved you end with this. I think you just tried to say what I was saying much more clearly. It's like, you know, we need an evolution in the leadership, in the consciousness, in the way we collaborate right now. And I don't want to say that in a blaming way. But it's not cutting it. And so that's the kind of work we can do as coaches, is to support others on this journey and be of service to the evolution of consciousness in our time. So
And just, I mean, I feel like we're bouncing off each other, Joel, in this ending, but I'm trusting that. I think if I tie back to the purpose of our conversation at this end, because from this place, then putting these lines of, we won't do those emotions, or we won't do those types of intervention, they don't make sense anymore. I think what makes sense is what's arising in the moment with the ethical inquiry we've talked about. And welcome what's here, because that becomes the potent fodder for alchemical change. And, you know, so whilst the ethics are important, because we need to make sure we're holding it with integrity, there's something that says when we allow what's here to be fully present, it has potent intelligence and transformational potential. And that's what I think the future practitioner, at least as far as I can tell, you know, when I look at you, Joel, as well, and you working your edge, and you're talking about that next place you want to evolve into, I think that's what future practitioner is. It's not, I am a coach and I have got the tick list. It's, I'm in my own evolution as well. So yeah, that's a lovely conclusion for us to come into.
All right, Kareem, thank you so much. And happy to share this with our community. So.
Beautiful.
Thanks for tuning into the podcast. I really hope you enjoyed it. And a reminder that the early bird enrollment is now open for our upcoming live training with Jim Dethmer and Bob Anderson. It's called Unlocking Leaders, and it's going to teach you how to coach at the level of consciousness, which is, for me, the highest leverage move you can make as a coach. Your client's consciousness is the place where the deepest, truest transformational breakthroughs come from. And often traditional coaching misses this, and it's something that our clients need us to learn as coaches. Because our times are calling for something deeper, we've got to go beneath the content of our experience, beneath strategy, to the source of change. And that's exactly what Unlocking Leaders is designed to teach you. I'm so proud of this program, of what it's become. I feel it's our offering in these times. And if you're ready to answer the call of these times, then you can join the full program. So just head to coachesrising.com/leaders to book your spot. And remember, you can get the early bird discount if you join by 29th of May.